Last year, U.S. businesses, they bled nearly $200 billion in credit card swipe fees.
Yeah, that's a massive number.
Right. The latest Nielsen report puts it at a record $198.25 billion for 2025. That is just, I mean, a staggering amount of money.
It really is. But here's the secret your payment processor hopes you never figure out. You don't need a new contract to lower your bill.
Wait, really? Because that's the first thing everyone thinks of.
Exactly. You just need to, well, press a few different buttons on your cash register. Welcome to our internal strategy discussion here at MyPay Advisor. I am your Senior Payments Advisor lead, and today we're preparing you, a U.S. merchant processing between $25,000 and $5 million a month, for a real tactical review of your operations.
And as your analyst co-host, my job is to help translate the data. We are looking at those Nielsen report numbers alongside Federal Reserve payment studies to, map out the 2026 landscape.
Right, because the data really tells the story here.
It does. The Fed data shows that U.S. interchange averages 1.7 to 2.3% across card-present categories. But most operators, they look at those averages, stare at their own inflated monthly statement, and immediately assume they need to jump ship to a new processor.
Which is a huge psychological trap.
Yeah, exactly. You look at a confusing bill, you feel like you are being overcharged, so you assume the vendor is the problem.
That is the classic trap for sure. Operators think a new contract is like the magic bullet. They spend weeks negotiating with sales reps, only to end up with the exact same problem 6 months later.
Because the root issue hasn't changed.
Right. The reality is that your point of sale configuration actually controls your costs. So our mission today is to walk you through the structural changes you can make this week.
Things operators can actually do on the floor.
Yes, specific adjustments at the point of sale layer that can get 0.2 to 0.45% off your effective rate. And you can achieve this without signing a single piece of new paperwork.
I always think of this like a utility bill. With electricity, the meter reads your usage and you pay a set rate. It is pretty straightforward.
Very predictable.
But in the merchant payment processing world, that utility meter is basically broken by default. The company reading the meter gets to decide how much to charge you based on these highly complex, arbitrary rules.
Oh, the rules are incredibly complex.
So let's unpack the mechanics of how that meter actually works, starting with the baseline. What exactly is the target rate we are aiming for here?
Well, to understand the target, we have to look at the underlying mechanics of Visa rules. Every type of business carries a different risk profile.
Makes sense.
Think about it. Buying a $500 television at a retail store has a very different fraud and chargeback risk than, say, buying a $50 steak that you sit down and eat immediately.
Right. If someone steals a credit card, they're going to Best Buy to buy laptops they can resell. They are not going to a steakhouse to eat a ribeye.
Exactly.
Plus, you cannot exactly return a consumed meal, so chargeback disputes are naturally going to be lower.
You hit the nail on the head. Because of that specific difference in risk, Visa created a dedicated category just for sit-down dining. It is called CPS Restaurant.
Okay, CPS restaurant.
Yeah. For a consumer credit card processed correctly under this restaurant category, the target rate is roughly 1.54% plus 10 cents per transaction.
Oh, wow.
That is the baseline published right there in the Visa interchange schedules.
So 1.54% plus a dime. That sounds honestly incredibly reasonable. But here's where it gets really interesting. Think of network interchange rules like the U.S. tax code.
And it's a great way to look at it.
The rules are unbelievably dense, and compliance is entirely on your shoulders. If you check the wrong box on your tax forms, the IRS doesn't just send you a friendly warning letter.
No, they definitely do not.
You get bumped into a higher tax bracket and you pay the maximum penalty by default.
That is a perfect analogy. In the payments world, we call that the penalty box. When a transaction misses even one technical qualification field, Visa automatically downgrades it.
So it drops out of that protected CPS restaurant category.
Yes, and it falls into a bucket called EIRF.
EIRF, which, just by the sound of it, sounds terrible. What kind of financial damage are we talking about when a transaction hits ERF?
EIRF sits at around 2.0% plus 10 cents.
Okay, that's a jump.
And if the transaction misses even further criteria, it drops all the way down to standard. Standard is roughly 2.65% plus 10 cents.
Wait, let me do the math on that. We go from a target of 1.54% all the way up to 2.65%. That is a massive jump.
It really is.
We are talking about a 50 to 100 basis point penalty per transaction.
And the critical thing to understand here is that this penalty is applied without any change to your actual operations.
So nothing physically changed in the restaurant?
Nothing. You still served the same meal to the same customer. The risk profile didn't actually change. But because a technical box was left unchecked in your software, you're paying a massive premium for doing exactly the same amount of work.
That is wild.
It's purely an administrative penalty.
That has to be, you know, infuriating for a business owner. You're bleeding margin because of a software setting you probably didn't even know existed.
Most don't know it exists at all.
So let's bring this down to the hardware sitting on the counter. How do these technical errors actually happen on the floor? We have four major point of sale failure points to cover today. What is the very first trap operators fall into?
The first failure point happens before you even run a single card. It all comes down to your merchant category code, or MCC.
Okay, the MCC.
Right. The network rules strictly state that eating places and restaurants must be coded as 5812. Bars and taverns are 5813, and fast night is 5814.
That seems pretty cut and dry. A restaurant gets the restaurant code. How does that ever go wrong?
It goes wrong because boarding agents at the processing companies get rushed. They are setting up dozens of accounts a day, often just clicking rapidly through drop-down menus.
Ah, human error.
Exactly. Frequently, they mistakenly categorize a restaurant using code 5999, which is miscellaneous retail, or 5499, which is food stores.
And let me guess. Because they used a generic retail bucket, the network sees 59999 and assumes you are selling physical goods.
Yes, that is exactly what happens.
And going back to what you said earlier about risk profiles, physical goods have a higher fraud rate than a consumed meal. So the network instantly applies those higher retail rates.
You hit it perfectly. The card brand looks at that 5999 code and instantly bumps your rates 15 to 30 basis points higher on average.
Just from a typo. Yeah.
You lose the game before you even play it. And the worst part is the operator has no idea the boarding agent made a mistake. They just pay the higher bill every month, assuming that is just the cost of doing business.
Okay, so getting categorized correctly is step one. But even if you have the right category code, time is a massive variable for Visa, isn't it? Let's talk about the clock.
Time is arguably the easiest place to slip up. Failure point number two is batch timing.
Batch timing?
Yes. There is a strict Visa rule requiring a settled transaction to clear within 24 hours of the original authorization.
Let's put this into a real-world scenario so operators can picture it. Let's say a server swipes a card for an authorization on a super busy Friday night. It is 10 p.m.
Okay, very common.
The server leaves the receipts in their apron, comes in the next morning for the lunch shift, and adjusts the tips on Saturday at 10 a.m. Then the manager finally closes the terminal and the whole batch goes out to the network on Saturday night.
In that scenario, you just missed the 24-hour window for those Friday night tickets.
Because it started at 10 p.m. Friday.
Right. The network clock starts ticking at the exact moment of authorization on Friday at 10 p.m. When the batch finally goes out Saturday night, you are at 26 or maybe 28 hours.
Because that 24-hour clock expired, you don't just get a warning, do you? I am assuming that entire Saturday night batch gets thrown into the penalty box.
It does.
Every single transaction captured in that late window gets hit with that 50 to 100 basis point penalty.
Exactly right. A slight delay in administrative work completely destroys your margin for the entire weekend shift.
That is just brutal.
The reason behind this is liquidity. The network wants its money moving quickly and predictably through the clearinghouse. When you delay the batch, you increase the risk of funds not settling properly, so Visa penalizes you for that increased risk.
That is painful. Just because the manager waited until the end of the weekend shift to hit a button?
Yep, just hitting a button.
So we've established that time is a strict variable, but what about the amount? Does the network give you any grace if a bill changes after the card is swiped? This brings us to failure point number three, which has to do with tips.
Yes, Visa allows the final settlement amount to exceed the original authorization by up to 20% without forcing a new authorization.
So a 20% buffer.
Right. This is a specific allowance created just for restaurant merchant codes because they know tipping is a standard part of the industry.
Hold on, I really need to push back on this one. What happens if a customer receives incredible service? Say the bill is $100, the customer is thrilled, and they leave a $30 tip. That's a 30% tip.
Mm-hmm.
Are you telling me the merchant gets penalized because their staff provided good service?
I know it sounds totally counterintuitive, but yes.
You're kidding.
If the system isn't set up correctly, good service actually costs you money. The network sees an original authorization for $100 and a final settlement for $130. That breaks the 20% tolerance rule.
Because it went over the buffer.
Exactly. To the network, a sudden 30% jump looks like potential fraud, like a server artificially inflating the tip, so the transaction is automatically downgraded to the standard penalty rate.
That is crazy. So how do you avoid punishing the merchant for getting a great tip? You can't just tell your servers to reject 30% tips.
Of course not. You want those big tips. The first is entirely mechanical. Your point-of-sale system must be configured to automatically issue an incremental authorization for anything over that 20% threshold.
Oh, an incremental authorization.
Yes. The top systems on the market, like Toast or Clover, have this feature built right in, but it has to be manually turned on in the settings.
So it's not on by default?
Often, no. If the software issues that incremental authorization, you keep your protected CPS restaurant rate.
Mm.
If it doesn't, you pay the penalty.
That is a brilliant mechanical fix. Just click a toggle in the settings.
Okay, that brings us to the fourth failure point, which moves away from software settings and into physical behavior on the floor.
Right. Failure point number four is accidental card-not-present transactions.
Wait, how does a card-not-present transaction happen in a sit-down dining room? The customer is literally sitting right there at the table.
It happens when a server takes a card to the backstation to run it. Maybe the chip reader is dirty, or maybe it's just acting up.
Oh, I see.
So to save time, the server just types the numbers in manually on the screen instead of inserting the chip.
I have definitely seen that happen. They just type it in quickly to turn the table faster.
Exactly. But mechanically, doing that changes the card present flag in the data feed from true to false, because it wasn't physically read.
Right. When you dip a chip, the terminal creates a unique one-time cryptogram that is highly secure. When you tape the numbers, you are just sending static data.
That makes sense.
The network receives the typed data and assumes you are taking a phone order or an online order. And as we discussed with risk profiles, a card that isn't physically read by a machine carries a much higher risk of being stolen.
So that single action of typing it in adds a huge penalty immediately. Manual entry on dine-in is a card-not-present downgrade by definition.
Yes, it adds a 30 to 80 basis point penalty instantly. The machine has to read the physical chip or tap the phone to qualify for the best rates.
Okay, let's step back and look at the big picture. We have four technical failure points happening at the terminal level: wrong category codes, batching past 24 hours, exceeding the 20% tip tolerance without an incremental authorization, and typing in card numbers instead of dipping the chip.
That is the big four.
If this is happening every day, we are talking about hundreds of dollars bleeding out of the margin. Why do operators not notice this? How is it staying hidden?
The reason operators don't see it requires us to look at how processors actually present these errors on a monthly bill.
The statements.
Yes, the statements. It all comes down to your pricing model.
Mm.
Specifically, tiered pricing versus interchange plus pricing.
Explain how tiered pricing works for the operators listening who might not be entirely sure which one they are currently on. I know these statements are designed to be confusing.
They are intentionally opaque. Under tiered pricing, the processor sets a single, highly attractive qualified rate. It looks amazing on paper when you sign the contract. They promise you a low flat rate.
But there's a catch.
A big one. Buried in the fine print, they reserve the right to move transactions into mid-qualified or non-qualified buckets if the transaction misses any network rules.
So the processor gets to play judge and jury on which bucket the transaction falls into. They're basically making up their own tax brackets.
Yes. And Nielsen report data indicates tiered pricing remains very common, especially for merchants doing under $500,000 in monthly volume.
That is a lot of independent operators.
It is. Here is the really unfair part. The processor absorbs the interchange downgrade cost from Visa, but they pass it along to you by dumping the transaction into a non-qualified tier that has a massive markup.
Oh, wow.
They essentially use your technical mistakes to widen their own profit margin. It's a shell game.
That is the visceral pain of losing money right there. Your mistakes are padding their pockets. Let's run through a real-world scenario so operators can hear exactly how this impacts the bottom line without getting bogged down in too many decimal points. Take a casual dining restaurant doing $185,000 in monthly volume.
That is a great baseline. Let's say their average ticket is $52.
Okay, pretty standard.
Under a tiered plan with all these hidden downgrades, our processor might dump over a third of their transactions into those expensive mid-qualified and non-qualified buckets.
A third? That's huge.
It is. For a business doing $185,000, their total processing cost for the month could easily land right around $4,600.
So paying $4,600 on $185,000 in volume gives us an effective rate of about 2.48%. Remember earlier we noted the Federal Reserve average for correctly configured card present volume is closer to 1.7 to 2.3%.
Exactly.
They are paying a huge premium for a broken configuration.
Exactly. Now let's apply the structural fixes we just talked about.
Okay, let's fix it.
We go into the point of sale system. We fix the merchant category code to 582. We enforce chip inserts so there are no accidental card not present flags. We turn on the 20% tip tolerance for incremental authorizations. And we set the system to batch within 24 hours of the first swipe.
What happens to the math when we fix the meter?
By fixing the configuration, the downgrade rate drops from nearly 40% down to just 5%. Almost everything stays in that initial cheapest qualified bucket.
And the cost.
Your new processing bill drops from roughly $4,600 down to just over $4,000.
That is an incredible difference. Instead of paying nearly $4,600 a month, fixing these settings drops your bill to just over $4,000. That's nearly $600 staying in your pocket every single month. Your effective rate drops from 2.48% down to 2.17%.
That is the bottom line. By simply changing settings in your existing point of sale system, you save around $7,000 a year in pure margin.
That is massive.
And you did all of this without signing a new processor contract. You just stopped checking the wrong boxes on the tax form.
The processor contract controls how downgrades are billed, but your point of sale settings control whether the downgrade happens in the first place.
That is exactly the distinction you have to make.
This is completely within the operator's control. Think about what $7,000 a year can do for an independent restaurant. That is a new patio heater setup or bonuses for your back of house staff.
It is real money.
Precisely. It is about taking the power back from the black box. Okay, we have covered the landscape, the underlying mechanics of Visa risk profiles, the four major failure points, and the math behind the tiered pricing traps. Let's bring it home. We want to deliver the tactical playbook for you to execute this week. Here is your operator, so what? Step one.
Pull your last three statements and verify your MCC. It must say 581, 5813, or 5814.
And if it doesn't?
If it says 5999 or anything else, call your processor today and demand they reboard the account with the correct eating place code. Don't let them tell you it doesn't matter. It matters immensely.
Step two, look at your statement for downgrade line items. You are looking for words like EIRF, standard, non-qualified, or mid-qualified. Add them up.
This is where you see the bleeding.
Right. If those downgrade buckets exceed 5% of your total volume, your point of sale configuration is actively costing you money.
Step three, audit your batch timing over the last 7 days. Pull the batch reports. Ensure closure within 24 hours of the earliest authorization.
So no weekend holdovers.
Exactly. Yeah. If you have late night service, enable split batches by shift so Friday night tickets do not get held until Sunday morning.
Step four, call your processor and ask for an interchange plus quote. Do not accept tiered pricing anymore. You want a fixed markup of 0.25 to 0.50% plus 10 cents.
Why interchange plus?
Because under interchange plus, they just pass the true Visa cost straight through to you, which exposes exactly what you are paying for. It gets rid of the shell game.
And step five, demand a downgrade reason code report. Your processor has this data hiding in their back office. It will show you exactly which rules are being broken, whether it is tip tolerance or card not present key-ins.
They don't usually volunteer that, do they?
No, you cannot fix what you cannot see. Force them to show you the data.
Those five steps are your roadmap to clawing back that $7,000 a year. But I want to leave you with a final warning based on how network operations function. We know that Visa and MasterCard update their published interchange rates every April and October. It happens like clockwork twice a year.
It is a highly critical window for your margin.
When these network updates happen, are you entirely certain your processor is only passing along the true network changes? Or are they using that industry news as a smokescreen?
A lot of them do.
Think about it. Are they silently widening their own profit margins, adding a few basis points to your bill while conveniently blaming the card brands for the increase? If the utility meter is broken and the bill is murky, the company reading the meter holds all the cards. It is time to fix the point of sale configuration, fix the meter, and take your margin back.